H.O.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man. 1100 a.m.
That right. That
and
right.
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and
what
Coach. You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam.
Woo.
Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, canine, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station, and I'm back in town, baby. The SRT crew handled their business while I was up in Trumpville.
Trumpville, USA.
Trumpville, USA. I was up in D.C., man, and it was great. But thanks for tuning in to another great episode of Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. Thanks for all those who tuned in last week and continues to support the SRT crew and Sports Roundtable. Got a great show for you. Awesome show. And as I always say, if this is your first time listening, shame on you. But we do appreciate it. If you want to get something off your chest, call the show. Please give us a call at 404-603-8770. And if this is your first time listening to the show, let me introduce everybody on the show, because you don't know who we are. And I am your humble host, H.O., from
Westside, Bankhead. They want phone.
I always represent that Westside, Bankhead, of course. And I got my main man who did his thing last week from Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm pretty sure he's happy because the Lakers got the number two pick. Smile. He actually got here a little early today. But the sports superhero, Hancock.
What's up, big homie?
What it is, man?
What's up, crew?
Landon.
D Weezy in the house. What's up, baby?
Got it.
What's up, G?
Yo.
There he is. Hey, man, they got the bridge right.
They did.
They got it right.
Finally.
Yeah, man. Harry Tubman came by and got bridge. It's all good. What's been up, man?
Man, everything good, man. Happy to be back.
How was that DC trip, man?
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. I got some shout outs in a minute, so let me get to D Wheel so I can get these shout outs in a minute. And of course, my other main man who has really performed. He actually got a gift from the SRT crew because of his steady, consistent hard work. And that only contributes to the team that he loves the most. 4 out of 8 champions. D-Will, the coach.
What's happening then? What up, crew?
What's up?
What's up, Weezy?
ATL, what's happening?
Everything good?
Man, I'm feeling so good, man. It's it's the best day of the week.
Best day of the week?
Ever.
Happy SRT Wednesday for all y'all who did not know.
If you don't know.
And, of course, the man behind the glass who's making all them beats drop. And the production is so good. G Money.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, I am.
G Money behind the glass. And can I get another yo? Just for people who don't understand how we do these.
Yo.
Once again, we got a great show for you. We got some hot news. We got the Falcons report coming up at 7:30 as DW. We'll be calling in to give you the Falcons report because the rookie camp is over now, and it was pretty good for the Falcons. Can't speak for any other organization. But let me give a quick shout out, man, to my crew, the Mob Squad went to D.C. Mary Kay O'Brien, M. Kizzle, my main man Bill Goodwin, B. Jizzle, Rick Zeffel. They call him Ricky Fontaine. Pretty Ricky, if Pretty Ricky. Tracy Hansen, call her T-Han. And a special shout out to Natalie Mallard, former boss of mine and D. Will's current boss. And she went up to D.C. and just racked up on awards. So she's on the front page of the Emory homepage getting an award. So shout out to her. Shout out to my main man, Andre Dozier. We call him Drizzle.
Dre.
Shout out to Dre, man, doing his thing. And shout out to the drivers.
Y'all had drivers?
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Trey, man. He got us to the airport safe. Even though it was some potholes, we was bumping and bumping and bumping. And shout out to my main man, Dexter, man. He did a tour with us. And education is education. Did y'all know that all of the property in Washington, D.C. is owned by the federal government? You cannot own your own property, land, in Washington, D.C.
Don't surprise me. You really want to be honest.
You, whatever is built on it, you own, but the land, you don't.
So.
Yeah, that's how McDonald's got rich. My man, Ray Kroc.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he bought the land, let him do everything, but he got paid.
Yeah.
I forgot what they call that, but.
Stealing.
That's pretty much it.
Shout out to all the Facebook Live onlookers. Thanks for tuning in. We about to get this thing started, but shout out to my crew, man. The Mob Squad went up there, man, and we really enjoyed ourselves. So shout out to the crew, and let's do it again. Hell, let's do it every year. I think we were the best squad up there anyway. So all right, G Money, with that being said, let's get into this hot news.
Blazing hot. Scorching. Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
There you go, Hancock. The bridge is over. The bridge is over. The bridge is over. My man, G-Money doing his thing.
G-Money doing his thing.
Hey, listen, the hot news is brought to you by Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, run over to our friends at Big Easy Grill. 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. TheBigEasyGrill.com. Please go there to look at the menus. It's the best shrimp in town, and it is verified. As a matter of fact, I can verify they probably got the best pasta in town as well, because I just left there today before we came to the show. First question, or the first hot news, NBA draft lottery was last night. And I guess there's no mistaking who came out a winner. But maybe y'all two have a different opinion. But Boston gets the number one pick. They get new Brooklyn's number one pick next year. Winners of the draft, in y'all opinion, Hancock.
Well, since you put it that way, I mean, you'd have to say Boston with what you're saying getting the pick next year, but with the Lakers not losing their pick and getting in that top three, that's what I had in the beginning. You kind of, I don't know, you kind of put a little
wrinkle. The Lakers actually moved up. So.
Yeah, but I mean, they only had like a 46% chance of even getting the pick.
Right.
To keeping the pick or retaining the pick. So for them to get it and not lose it, that's why I picked the Lakers.
What I'm supposed to say? I'm piggybacking. Like, I'm a fan. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, man, it's the Lakers. Like,
the Lakers.
To be able to, with the chances being so slim of them actually keeping the pick and then for them to pick up the number two pick right where they want to be. Because the number two pick is better than number one because you don't have a controversy. Everybody knows you get Lonzo Ball now.
It was rigged.
Hey, what up? Hey, D Tate checking in. Deshaun Tate, what's happening?
I see him. What's up, Tate?
Yeah, hey, that's not good. Don't say that.
Don't say that.
Don't say that.
Hey, if they said it in 85,
it was not rigged.
When Patrick Ewing, what was the chance of New York getting that number one pick?
Why we got to talk about history?
All right, okay, okay. G Money, who won the lottery last night?
Well, there are a lot of teams that are winners in different ways.
Okay.
For one, Boston is a winner because Danny Ainge had the foresight 4 years ago to make that trade and kind of and fleece Brooklyn. The Lakers, they get to keep their pick and they're going to get Lonzo Ball. I mean, all signs point to him. And with Philadelphia, if they like Sam Hinkie should be happy and upset at the same time, like he could still have his job. It's like if they were a little more patient or at least had the foresight that he did.
Right.
As I mentioned before the show, someone, I think it was at the Sixers draft lottery party, someone yelled out, "Thank you, Sam Hinkie," when it was announced they got the third pick.
All right. So, if you Boston, who you take, Han?
Well, it depends on how they do in this playoff run.
Okay.
Because I think if Isaiah is able to lead them past LeBron, then you can't get rid of him. You understand what I'm saying? So you might want to go a little different way. But we look at Isaiah, there's got to be a ceiling for a 5'9 guard.
5'6, but anyway. Yeah.
I mean, is he really the player that can keep you at the level you are and get you over the top? You know, it remains to be seen.
Consistency.
Right. We see this Folk and some other players in the draft that supposedly these can't miss that could probably help your franchise a little more. So I think a lot is riding on this playoff run for Boston, and I think they'll go from there. If he's able to get them past LeBron, then you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's contingent. You might even want to move Isaiah to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot riding on
this. Go ahead, D-Will.
Woo! Let me tell you like this. If I'm Boston, I got one thing on my mind. I'm good. We just made the run. All right, we're on the run. We're in the midst of the run. I just got the number one pick in a great draft. You know what I'm doing with that pick? I'm picking up the telephone. I'm calling Chicago, and I'm calling Indiana. Y'all want this pick? I'm going after Paul George or Jimmy Butler. Put Paul George or Jimmy Butler on this current Celtics team. LeBron got trouble. All right? So if I'm Boston, because none of those players are helping me immediately, Boston is inside their window now.
But let me ask you this. And I like the point, but Paul George is probably going to be a free agent anyway.
Hey, listen.
What I'm saying is, hold on. Before you go, you could possibly keep your pick and get Paul George the next year.
But I don't think Paul's coming because I think he's going to L.A.
Well, you won't be able to sign him in Boston.
But here's my thing. Here's what I said inside the window. With Isaiah Thomas, Boston is inside that window. Now, if they want to speak towards the future and if they can continue to make consistent runs, that's fine. But inside this year and next year, with Paul George, who will be a free agent, so why not go get one?
So you're not worried about him? Because he could say, well, I'm not signing back.
He could say that. But if you put him in a situation where he goes up against LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals and beats him and goes to the finals, why would he not resign?
I got a different take. And I like what you're saying. That's the thing about it, they got options. But I think this could possibly be another idea. You draft folks because he's a decent I think he will be a guard that can possibly hold down a franchise pretty soon. Maybe not the first year, maybe 3 years in, you can do that. I think you draft folks. You trade Isaiah and try to get Jimmy Butler. You can trade Isaiah and Avery and try to get Jimmy Butler because he's under five. He's under that 5-year, $90 million. So you're not gonna get him no cheaper than that. And then you sign Gordon Hayward.
They got the money to do that.
Ain't nobody else got no money
because you're not signing Isaiah.
Yeah, the only person.
Yeah, that's the only person over 100.
They can pull that off. That's nice.
So, because now the only thing you would have to do is pay Hayward what he would be worth with the money.
Well, he's going to get 100 anyway.
The only reason I would say you trade Isaiah because when he becomes a free agent, he's able to get $200 million now. Why would you pay him $200 million?
Yeah, he can get $200. Can he get $200?
Okay. Yeah, after
I thought you had to be signed. Well, I don't know. We're talking about different things. I don't know.
So now you don't have to be tied up to $200 million.
When is Isaiah up?
After next season. After next season. He and Bradley.
Right.
Yeah, I would move Isaiah.
I think it's contingent on how they do in this playoff.
And here's my thing. They're going to get one game. They're not getting – we all know. We can sit here and we can break it down. They're going to get one game. If that, it'll be – they need to get this first one.
This is the game.
To be honest.
This is the game.
This is the Allen Iverson against the Lakers, and you got to get the first one. If not, it may be a wrap. So my thing is
– honestly, they can't lose either the first two.
Here's what Boston needs to do. Are we looking towards the future, or are we looking at the window?
But see, the reason I'm a little hesitant on what you were saying about trading the pick, because they could have done that. They could have traded the pick
before
this year and got Paul George.
No doubt,
he could have been there for this run.
True.
So I'm not sure he's going to do that. I think I'm just wondering. I know what Danny Ainge is thinking. He's like, if I get rid of Isaiah and we become a worse team, I'm gonna get killed.
Yep.
But if I don't try to make a move and get a player that can be transcended and I can get rid of the small guy, I might be messing up.
Are you
kind of in a quandary?
Do you trust Markel, folks?
See, that's
like
what
that?
Everybody's saying. I'm talking from everybody else's perspective.
I got you.
I like the kid in Oregon better than myself.
Tyler Dawson.
Not Dawson. I do like Dawson, but I'm talking about the big kid. The kid that,
Jordan Bell?
Bell. I like Bell.
Right now, the only thing about it is, and we got to move on to our next point. The only thing about it is, with Markel Fultz, you got to bring in some veteran, and that's why you would bring in Jimmy Butler.
And I love that, because I was saying trade the pick for him. So if you
But see now, your scoring comes from the wings instead of the point guard. You see what I'm saying?
And you're not killed on defense. And you're not killed. Hide Isaiah.
Exactly.
He's worse than Steph.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Tonight, they're going to try their best to hide him, but I don't know where they're going to hide him.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Derek Jeter Hall of Fame ceremony, jersey retire ceremony. Your thoughts on Jeter himself. G Money, we'll start with you, Goliath. He is a professional.
He was on two teams that broke my team's heart in the World Series. And he got away with a lot of stuff thanks to a 12-year-old. And
is that really what you're going to do?
Yep.
He said he disclaimed it by saying he broke my team's heart. But go ahead, G.
As far as him being I feel like his legacy may have been great. I mean, I know the Yankee fans love him. I think he probably would have been more successful and his legacy would be even greater if he was the one who switched to third base and let A-Rod play short.
Ooh.
That was the idea at first.
Right.
But he kept his spot and A-Rod was all right at third, but who knows if they made the switch that was the idea in the first place. Could they have won more? Because I think he declined defensively, but he's the most recent superstar for the Yankees, so he's got that.
Hancock, what you got on Mr. Jeter?
Well, I feel like I'm about to let everybody know there's no Santa Claus. You know, and this might be a little controversial, but hey, I think
why people listen.
I didn't watch the ceremony and all that because it really didn't matter to me.
Right.
But he might be the best, just above average, over the top, celebrated player I've ever heard of. When you get the machine behind you and everybody says that you this and whatever, and it snowballs. You know, at one time it was Jeter, it was A-Rod, and it was Garcia Park. And A-Rod was head and shoulders better than both of them. I just be real. If you look at it, you want to talk about what A-Rod did, the steroids and whatever. Everybody was doing it back then, except maybe Jeter.
Right.
But we know Garcia Perry with his power and what he was doing.
Right.
Okay. But I just think that the legend grew on certain plays. He made plays, he did, but he played for the organization.
Right.
He played for the Yankees. So winning a couple of titles with them, you look at the talent he had around him with Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill, and you can go down the line. I mean, with all the players he had around him. So, yeah, he was the captain. But I think, like I said, sometimes the legend gets bigger because of playing in New York, being on that stage, and he did deliver in some clutch spots. Don't get me wrong. But like I said, I think he
was machine
driven.
All right, D-Will, Phil Jackson talks again, and he has reiterated that it'll probably be best for Melo to go somewhere else. Where do you think he plays next year, Melo?
To be honest with you, this gonna hurt. I think that door is closed.
Yeah, I know it's hurting if you're saying it.
Not because of talent-wise or ability, but persona. His persona of being that guy has been diminished solely by Phil Jackson. And the reason I say that is no other superstar has been talked about by their owner or boss the way Melo has. Think about it. Borderline stuff that you look at Phil Jackson and be like, whoa, bro, what you trying to say there? When you try to read between his lines, because you know he's a deep thinker. So everything he says has meaning. So whatever you're insinuating is probably what he's saying. So he's taken Melo's star and dimmed it himself. So where does he go? We're Clippers. And we don't even know if the Clippers are going to be who the Clippers are. So we can't say, yeah, he's just going to go fill in at the Clippers, because what are the Clippers about to do?
Yeah.
So really, you look around the league, there's nowhere else he's going that we're going to be talking about Melo.
Hancock, real quick, where do you think he plays next year?
I think either Clippers or Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
So if he goes to Cleveland, he's no longer Melo.
No, but he's playing with LeBron, trying to chase a title.
So
that's my point.
Either Chris Paul or LeBron.
I think that's what
that's my point.
If Boston trades this pick, or they trade next year's Brooklyn's pick, he could end up there. Carmelo could end up in Boston.
Oh.
That would, you know, there's Paul George and Jimmy Butler out there, Gordon Hayward. I feel like if they don't make any moves, they're going to end up with like Rudy Gay or something, Boston would. But I think Melo to Boston is still a possibility.
Okay.
I think he only gives up one thing, and that's to either play with Chris Paul or he plays with LeBron. That's the only reason he has the no trade. See, Phil is trying to make him give up the no trade. That's why he's bad mouthing. Yeah. I think it's only two players that he wants to play with, and that's either with Paul or with LeBron.
But if he goes to the Clippers, he's still the guy. If he goes to Cleveland, it's over. That star is gone.
Well, he'll have a ring, and he'll have a better chance to get a ring. I just say that because the way Golden State playing, but we'll talk about that later. All right, Kawhi goes out of game one after scoring 26 points in 24 minutes. Set out game two due to a play that probably the reputation of this player has made it be more than what most people probably believe. So I got to ask the crew, Hancock, how do you feel about the play?
I just want to know what we did with basketball before all this technical stuff came in. Because I've never seen where you want to call a flagrant foul for somebody coming down somebody's foot. And it's the most – what happens in any other basketball we watch? What about high school basketball? What about college basketball? Oh, they don't have those rules. I mean, it's ridiculous, man, for me. It just like last year, this is to piggyback and say after the fact we're going to suspend Draymond, even though we didn't call anything in the game. So now I'm hearing people saying that we want to review the footage to see, just like loose balls and all this. NBA basketball is getting to be a joke. about all the stuff that they talk about. And these are the kind of things that really just, they kind of make me crazy. I'm like, why are we even talking about whether he stuck his foot out or not? Either you're going to call a foul for tripping or you leave it alone. Every play you can go down and watch where somebody's feet get tangled on a jump shot. Yeah. It happens all the time on closeout.
Yep.
It does. So, and how can you, what I'm saying is, how can I get in your mind and know you tried to do it?
You're not.
It's speculation.
It's all speculation. D-Will, your thoughts on it real quick.
And I agree with Hancock, but here's the thing. We have the luxury of super duper HD slow mo. So we're sitting up here, and we got these prognosticators sitting on this desk talking about, look, he took that extra step. You see that baby step? He did that on purpose. He know he got big feet, and if you got big feet, it's a 50-50 chance they're going to come down on your foot. So I'm sitting there on a closeout on Kawhi Leonard on a jump shot, and what's going through Zaza's head in 0.35 milliseconds is, let me put my foot out here one more time so he'll come down and turn his ankle.
Exactly.
It's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. And so, you know what it is? Fake news.
Fake news. Wow.
It's fake news. If you want to know the definition of fake news, that's it right there.
That's it right there.
Zaza wasn't even looking. His head was turned looking the other way. And if you go on the SRT page on Facebook, at SRT Radio, check this out. It's a video up of LaMarcus Aldridge doing the same step last night, doing the double step closeout on Kevin Durant. And guess what? Kevin Durant came down on his foot. His ankle just didn't turn. Exact same play. Go look at our SRT page.
And he took a skip step.
And he took the same.
Like they claiming that Zaza did.
No news about it.
I saw what's called play. IG, what you got on that?
I just thought it was funny how, like, the next day, Greg Popovich goes on this rant about Zaza.
Thank you, G.
Didn't forget he coached Bruce Bowen.
Wow.
Oh, come on. Talk to me.
great call, G.
That was a good one.
That's all I got.
Fake news.
Fake news. All right. This is the last hot news. There's plenty of news, but we go roll with it. Seattle Seahawks are allegedly in the running for Robert Griffin III and Kaepernick. Mostly Kaepernick because
I hope so.
Michael Bennett came out supporting Kaepernick, saying it's the best place for him. So, Hancock, who would you want? Who would you take out of those two?
I would probably go Kaepernick. Robert Griffin hadn't really played football in, what, 2.5-3 years now?
Something like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think I'd go Cap. They're both going through this redemption stage and trying to redeem their careers or resurrect them or whatever. So, I mean, I would still go Kaepernick. I think he's wanting to play football, and I'm not sure about Robert Griffin.
Colin, all day all long. Day. I don't trust Robert Griffin as far as I can see him. Even if he does have to play and he does get significant snaps, he's still going to get hurt.
All right, man. Well, that's going to do it for the hot news. We'll take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we got our main man, DW, talking Falcons report. Keep it locked. Sports Roundtable. I'm back!
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Come to the Georgia Renaissance Festival, where you'll see
Robin Hood, a Mary Queen, hordes of swords and juggling, men in tights who like to fight with sharp things in their hands.
Yeah.
Clothing, jewelry, pottery, it's like you've won the lottery. Stop on by.
Why not hurry?
For fun and food and drink.
I'm matey. This weekend is Pirate Splendor Weekend at the Georgia Renaissance Festival. Sing sea shanties and hoist a mug of ale in the all-new pub. Get discount tickets at select Sam's Clubs and at GARenFest.com. Arr!
This is a national health alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, listen closely. Now, regardless of your age, if you have insurance, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies with little to no out-of-pocket cost. get free delivery, free information, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers for free. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details. But wait, there's more. If you call right now, you could get a free meter upgrade. In addition, we'll give you a free pedometer as our special gift to you. We have knee, back, and other braces available, as well as pharmacy services. Regardless of your age, if you suffer with diabetes and you have insurance, we can help.
800-590-1164. 800-590-1164. 800-590-1164. That's 800-590-1164.
Sports Roundtable.
The bridge.
Boy, if Trump can get in the White House, they ought to be able to do something with that bridge.
Come on, talk to me, man.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Superhero is my moniker, but I'm going to have to talk to Alfred or something to get a plane. We got to do something. That's ridiculous, man. Man, they slaves got home quicker than Harry Tubman, and I can get down here. This is crazy. We need the Underground Railroad or something.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM. Please welcome everyone's favorite falcoholic, David D.W. Walker.
The Falconholic, D.W. How you doing, sir? Hey, well, first of all, let me just do it this way. Let's go back a little bit. The Falcon Report is brought to you by The Falcoholic. Please go to TheFalcoholic.com to read up on all of your Falcon news, especially when D.W. David Walker is writing. How about that?
I'll take it. I like it.
That's what I'm talking about. D.W., man, what's happening, man? Listen, sorry about the power outage. You know, things happen. You know, it happened in the Super Bowl one year. So, I mean, what do you expect? You know, so nice to hear from you again. The Falcons rookie camp just ended, and I'm pretty sure you've been busy.
Yeah, we're staying busy, trying to stay on top of things as we get ready for the 2017 season to kick in.
All right. So, I got the people listening in, and they want to know your thoughts on the Falcons actually moving up to get Mr. Tack McKinley.
You know, it was a controversial move, I think, initially, because I think fans were hoping we would stay in place, or some were really hoping the Falcons would trade back and even maybe, you know, out of the first round and acquire more picks. But the reality is McKinley was on the radar for several teams, including the Saints, who were right behind us at 32. It sounds like the Dallas Cowboys were really interested in him, as well as the Green Bay Packers. So I think the Falcons jumped in front of several teams that probably would have taken Tack. And I do want to remind fans that the last time we gave up a third-round pick to move up in the first round, we drafted Desmond Trufant, which was obviously a great move in hindsight. Got a future, shutdown corner out of that trade. So it remains to be seen if Tack will be the same type of value. But I think the move made a lot of sense given the other teams that we had to leap in front of.
If they didn't pick Tack, who would have been their choice if Tech wouldn't have been available?
That's a great question. Honestly, I think they were looking at either pass rusher or an offensive guard. I think had they stayed at 31, I would not have been surprised to see them take Forrest Lamp, the offensive guard, and I think he was definitely on the radar. But I think, honestly, they had Tack in their sights for a while now. I think they've really wanted him. They like what he offers. And I think they were going to move up and do what they needed to do to get him in the Falcons uniform.
Gotcha. Do we need to temper our expectations for Tack for this year?
You know, I think it's wise to do that with all rookies. Especially a position where there's usually a 1 to 2 year learning curve. I mean, we saw that with Vic Beasley. You know, his rookie year, he only had four and a half sacks, and obviously had an explosive sophomore campaign. And on top of that, you know, Tax coming in with the shoulder injury. He wasn't able to really participate fully in the rookie minicamp. So anyone who's going in hoping for 10-plus sacks, you know, I think, you know, temper that a little bit and just give the guy some room to grow, and I think we'll be pleased with what we have in the long term.
What would you give the Falcons grade for the drafting for this year?
Well, on our official grades at the Falcoholic, I actually gave them a B. I felt like the move in the second round where they picked up, you know, some additional fifth-round picks was a really great move. I liked the remaining picks, you know, Duke Riley, Sean Harlow, DeMonte Kazee, Brian Hill, and Eric Saubert. I felt like were all really good value picks and fit in well with what the Falcons were looking for. So it remains to be seen how these guys turn out, but I was pretty pleased with this draft class.
Out of those picks, who is your sleeper draft pick for the Falcons?
You know, I'm going to say fifth-round defensive back DeMonte Kazee. He is someone that in the rookie camp, they have already moved him over to playing and trying him out at free safety. Dan Quinn was very excited about his communication skills on the field, which if you've listened to Dan Quinn the past 2 years, communication is a key aspect for him when he's looking at these defensive players. And Kazee was a ball hawk in college. This guy had, I think, 11 interceptions in his last two seasons. And he is someone to keep an eye on. You know, the team is still not committed to the long term with Ricardo Allen. Don't be surprised if Kazee pushes for some playing time at free safety this year. He could be a sleeper.
Yeah, that's nice there, Kazee. How good could this defense actually be?
Ooh. You know, it's scary to think about how they finished last year. If you look at what they did in the playoffs to the Seahawks and to the Green Bay Packers, and then even the first three quarters in the Super Bowl, which is the only aspect of the game that I acknowledge happened. If you look at this young defense, there are some really, really good building blocks. And I think they added, you know, some really explosive players in this draft with Duke Riley, the linebacker out of LSU, and of course with Tack McKinley. I think this defense this year could be could get into the top 10, and depending on how things go, they could challenge to be a top 7, maybe even top 5 defense if they play to their potential.
Wow, that's big. We hoping for that. Now, speaking of the defense, we've heard reports that Campbell will be moving to the strong side linebacker, right, which opens up the weak side linebacker. Can you enlighten us and tell us the thought behind that?
Absolutely. I think when the Falcons drafted Duke Riley, I think it pretty much spelled out what their plans were. You know, in Dan Quinn's 4-3 under defense, weak side linebacker and middle linebacker are somewhat interchangeable. They're both considered inside backers. And really between Deion Jones and Duke Riley, you know, they'll be somewhat interchangeable in those two roles. Towards the end of last season, Devondre Campbell started getting more looks at that Sam position, and he did a very good job in that position. It takes some of the responsibilities off of him as far as what he has to look for and diagnose. It's a little bit simpler in that position. And I think it really accented, you know, his athleticism and his ability to be disruptive. So I think with these three linebackers, they're actually looking at a really good fit with all three of them, and especially moving Duke in that weak side to start the season. I think that'd be a great move.
So now, if that's the case, did that put Beasley at DN full time?
I think you'll see a rotation, and I think that's the important thing to remember with Dan Quinn's defense. There really isn't a quote-unquote full-time player, even for, you know, some of these guys. They, you know, he tries to get these guys rotated and keep them fresh.
Right.
And Dan Quinn even said, you know, just last week that one of the things he came out of 2016, you know, the most worried about was the depth on the defense.
Right.
And I think they intentionally addressed that. But to your point, I do think Beasley will see more snaps at D end and, you know, fewer at linebacker this year.
Okay. Any player in your mind that you thought the Falcons should have drafted in this draft?
I was hoping for offensive guard. I was hoping for it sooner than the fourth round where we grabbed Sean Harlow. I thought the Forrest Lamp was going to be a really good fit for what we needed in the long term. I think this is, the other side of this is we can look at this as a vote of confidence in the club, in Wes Schweitzer, our sixth round pick from last year. And it remains to be seen whether Sean Harlow, this year's draft pick in the fourth round, can compete for that spot. But I personally may have leaned offensive guard, but here's the thing. I don't think you can ever go wrong by having too many pass rushers on the team.
I understand that. Brian, is it Brian Hill?
Brian Hill.
The running back. The rookie camp, he was impressive from what I hear.
Yes.
The response of him having a violent running attack, does this say anything about Tevin Coleman and his contract situation coming up, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's going to reflect a little bit on the negotiations with Devontae Freeman. And I think that's something to pay attention to. Freeman's agents have been a little rambunctious in the offseason, and I think that the team... let's be honest. They've caused some noise, and that's not Freeman's style. I think that those are his agents. So let's be clear about that. Devontae has been about the team since day one, but I think where Brian Hill's concerned, he's a little bit of an insurance policy. There's a rule in the NFL that says you don't overpay committee running backs. And as good as Freeman has been, he has still been part of a duo, for his entire team and time in Atlanta. And I think, them bringing in Brian Hill, drafting him, in the fifth round, is just an insurance policy. I still think they try to work out a deal with Devontae ultimately. But if the two sides can't come to terms, Brian Hill buys them a little bit of insurance in that regard.
Hey, DW, this is G Money. Now, after the draft, every team signs a bunch of free agents, undrafted free agents. Who do you think of who the Falcons have signed that was undrafted? Who do you think has the greatest chance of making the team?
Oh, that's a great question. I tell you what. let me see here. We've had a few names that have come across, but one that jumped out was Marcellus Branch. A free safety, 5'11", 180 pounds, I think, out of Robert Morris. He looked pretty good. He's someone to keep an eye on. Maybe this is not so surprising for some of our local fans. Reggie Davis, wide receiver out of Georgia, had, really good showing in rookie camp and, ultimately got a deal to come on during training camp. He is someone to keep an eye on. Honestly, there's quite a few guys that I think, and this is the good thing about having a successful team, is that you're now attracting more and more of the undrafted guys, especially when you've got a track record like the Falcons do of giving these guys a chance, like Brian Poole got last year. He got significant playing time, and right now it's hard to say. We haven't seen these guys on the field. Ask me again in August, and I'll give you a better indication.
D-Dub, what up, man? This is D-Will, the coach. I got a good one. Going back to your Freeman comment and how you say he's been in a dual backfield basically his whole career, the numbers came out. It's not so much of a dual backfield as we think here. Freeman got 65% of the snaps this past year.
Right.
It looked more like a more of a 50-50, but it was actually 65-35. So does that give Devontae a bit of leverage inside of these negotiations where the Falcons really have to come more towards him in negotiations than him need to give the quote-unquote hometown discount?
Mm. Yeah, I'm familiar with the numbers. And obviously, if you look at the raw numbers, he's had two consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. I think the thing that's going to factor into this is the you know, the fact that they've got Tevin Coleman as well. You know, Coleman obviously didn't get as many snaps, but he proved to be maybe the more explosive player, especially as a receiver. You know, and he still was, you know, fairly good as a running back. And even though Freeman got the majority of snaps, there was evidence from 2015 that as the season went on, his performance began to dip towards the back half of the season. And I think if I'm the Falcons and I'm trying to negotiate a deal, we're saying, hey, we want to try to keep you under, you know, right around 200, you know, snaps running the ball. And that's just not, that's not what you consider to be a lead back. So, you know, I think Freeman is in that gray area in between, you know, a committee backs and, you know, a true lead back. And both sides are going to push for the side that favors them the most. I do think a deal happens, but I think that there's going to be a lot of back and forth that's going to happen between now and then.
Do we bring Freeney back?
Ooh. You know, before the draft, I was convinced that they were going to make it happen. And I really like Freeney. I liked what he did last year, especially in mentoring Vic Beasley. I would love to see him back this year, but Dan Quinn has made it clear that he wants even the veterans to go all the way through training camp. He doesn't want to give these guys a free ride. He doesn't want to treat veterans any differently than, you know, he does the new players. So that's going to be on Freeney. I think they would love to have him back and be able to use him in that rotational role like they did. But it's going to be dependent on whether Freeney wants to go through a full training camp, you know, as a veteran of over 15 years.
Gotcha. All right, last question of the night. The Falcons came out, the numbers came out. The Falcons over under is 10. Are you going over or under?
I'm
for wins.
Despite what happened in February, which I have to take a shot every time I think about it, I am still optimistic about this team. This defense, to me, is on the rise. I think the way they finished off last year was really spectacular, considering how many guys they had injured and how young this defense is. I'm taking the over. I actually think this Falcons team may finally break the Super Bowl hangover. And I think teams, you know, analysts looking at other NFC teams and thinking they're going to be better are going to be shocked by what the Falcons do this year.
All right, my man, D-Dub. And by the way, I know your package got there, and you have a little something to go and get your shot with.
I sure do, and I greatly appreciate it. You will be seeing pictures of me wearing that beautiful shirt on Twitter in the very near future, by the way.
Absolutely, man. Listen, tell our listeners where they can find you, and tell our listeners how they can find your articles.
Excellent. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW, and you'll find my stuff weekly at www.thefalcoholic.com. And our next podcast, the Falcoholic Podcast, lands on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Google Play Store sometime tonight, and the article hits tomorrow. So look for us there.
My man, D-Dub, look, we'll talk to you soon. We really appreciate it. That's the Falcon Report, brought to you by thefalcoholic.com. Thanks, D-Dub.
Thanks, guys. Rise up.
Rise up. All right, man, there you have it, man. Some great, great info. For all y'all Falcons fans, so I hope you was tuning in to listen to that.
I bet Devontae said, where's the brotherhood?
Where is the brotherhood?
Where's the brotherhood? Well, speaking of brotherhood, SRT Fun Bag coming up. We're going to take a quick break. Please tune in. We got some hot stuff for you. SRT Fun Bag is due in a second. We're talking about all-time draft picks, bust, and out-of-nowhere draft picks. SRT, keep it locked.
You're listening to
Sports Roundtable.
Sports Roundtable. Sports Roundtable. We'll be right back after the break.
Tune Your Radio.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
Looks like some cable and phone companies are trying to sell home security. But when a burglar sees one of their signs in the front yard, what does it say? Oh, wow, this home has 599 channels. Or, oh, these guys have high-speed internet. But the ADT sign, it says, this family trusts the company whose name means security. So beat it. It's no wonder 5 times more people choose ADT to protect their homes.
Learn more at ADT.com and to see licensing and terms and conditions.
Welcome back. Have a seat at the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on AM 1100.
SRT Fun Bag, go, fun bag, go.
No, no. Think, since you're thinking, now go on, think.
No,
is it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
Oh, funny.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Are we having fun yet?
SRT Fun Bag brought to you by Design Queen. If you have a business and you do not have a website, please contact designqueen.com. Go to her website, and you can actually go to srtradio.com website to look at how your website can look. Designqueen.com. All right, SRT Fun Bag. My main man, Hancock, called me, actually, when I got back, and we always tossing some things around, like, you know, like tennis players and things of that nature. So, NBA draft, and I guess the way that we put it is, pick your all-time NBA draft bust. Woo! Pick your all-time NBA draft
bust.
Best pick, best draft pick, excluding LeBron, because that's too easy. Trying to make the conversation a little. And pick your all-time best draft pick that just came out of nowhere. So, Facebook Live, y'all can do that for me. And you want to start, Han, or you want me to start, or G-Money, or
D-Will, or anybody. Let's roll.
Let's roll. My first, well, we're going to go with the first one, all-time bust.
All-time bust. Yeah, let's go around the table with all the bust.
This guy was picked ahead of the GOAT. Michael Jordan.
We talked about this the other day at the shop.
I'm going to go with Sam Bowie.
Yes.
Who was a 7-footer out of Kentucky who, let's just say, he had unfortunate occurrences with his leg. Because this guy was actually a baller.
Oh, that's the thing. He could play.
He was a baller. Don't get me wrong. In college, he was a hooper. I mean, yes. He was one of your first athletic 7-footers that could run the floor and do some things. So, but I got to.
He played with Melvin Turpin, right?
Yeah, he did. He and Turpin were together. And so I got to get him. He played against Barkley. Barkley gave it to him when he was there. Yeah. Boy, Barkley was beasting out in college. But anyway, I go with Bowie as my all-time.
It's like by default.
Well,
I heard.
Michael Jordan made him.
I feel you.
Yeah, Michael Jordan made him there. IG.
Okay, mine. When you're the number one pick, and then you end up playing for 3 teams in 4 years, and you get cut by the worst team in the league.
Wow.
Of course, I'm talking about Anthony Bennett.
That's a
good one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
You can't get mad. Can't be mad.
I do, Will.
Since y'all picked some really good ones, and I commend y'all, the draft is too big, and the NBA is over 60, 70 years old. I can pick, so I got to start in 5+1. I'm going to go with, first off, 2007, Greg Oden, number one overall pick, bust. I'm going to need you, okay? 1998, number one overall pick, Michael Olowokandi,
bust.
03 pick, number two overall, Darko Milicic,
bust.
Number one overall, never nervous, Purvis Ellison.
That hurts me. Because I was a Louisville fan.
I know. And I'm just throwing shots at all y'all. Number two overall, Danny Ferry.
Woo. Bust.
And for my sixth man, I'm going to go with Todd Fuller, 1996, number 11 overall. He was selected over Kobe Bryant,
oh my God,
Steve Nash, Derek Fisher, and I can keep going.
Yeah, I believe.
But Todd Fuller.
Bus. Wow. Well, mine was real simple. G just took it out straight out of the mouth. Anthony Bennett. And actually, to add to your, he got cut overseas by a Turkish team.
That's bad.
Number one overall? He probably should have stayed in Vegas. That's and gambled.
Yep. Wait.
You know, I never understood that pick.
Oh, my God.
Like, ever.
David Griffin may not. He should have never got another job.
Oh, my
ever.
God.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. What was the next? The best pick.
All time.
All time.
Well, this might be a little partial, but I'm going with Irvin Magic Johnson.
Rigged. Not for arguing.
What I got right now?
Magic.
Go ahead, G.
Guy played for his team for 19 years, and he had the career that everyone expected him to have, but it was still great to watch. San Antonio drafted Tim Duncan.
Oh, that was a good one. All right, Weezy.
And I'm real close to G because I tried to get smart on y'all. Since there's so many draft picks, this is really hard.
It's hard.
But I got smart on y'all. So I went with 1998, number 9 overall by Milwaukee, Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk was traded by Milwaukee to Dallas for Robert Tractor Trailer. A championship, Hall of Fame career, 30,000 points later.
Probably the best European player.
The best.
To ever play in the NBA?
To ever play in the NBA. Hands down, 30,000 points.
Yeah.
You can't. Dirk Nowitzki.
And an
MVP. A finals MVP.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That could have been a came out of nowhere, to be honest.
Come on.
Big homie, I'm going to reiterate the Magic thing. 19 years old, coming in as a rookie, winning the championship after winning a national championship in college. And peep this.
What he doing in the finals is
out of
game six.
Oh, yeah, 42.
15.
Yeah. And he played center and point.
Baby hook at the free throw line.
Absolutely. And this is what makes this all gravy. Out of the 11 years that he played in his NBA career, he was in the finals, not the playoffs, the finals 9 times.
You can't hate.
That's
the greatest of all time.
I mean, come.
That's the greatest pick of
all time. That means only 2 years, he didn't go to the finals.
Yeah. Even his last year in the league, he went to the finals in 91. Before that, after that series, he came out.
Yeah.
Then said he had aim.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, he came out.
Buck was a bad man.
He was a bad man.
Buck was a bad man.
Rigged.
All right, Han, this is it. The best all-time pick that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And this one is kind of skewed a little bit, but I'm going to go with it because this guy I did not know would be the player that he is. He's a back-to-back MVP, only unanimous MVP to ever have in the NBA. I'm going Steph Curry because coming out of Davidson, slight of build, didn't see it.
Yeah.
I saw he could shoot, but I didn't see this. So for him to change the franchise the way he's done it, really, he's been the real bell cow of the franchise. I'm going to say he's out of nowhere. Steph Curry.
IG.
All right. It's another Spurs pick. He was the second.
Homer.
The second to last pick of the 1999 draft. Manu Ginobili.
You could have went with him and Tony Parker.
Yeah, either one. Pick one.
Parker was, I think, it was the last pick of the first round.
First round, yeah.
But the second to last pick of the whole draft.
Yeah.
And he's about to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
That's a good one. My turn?
Yep.
I'm riding I know I'm jumping in the, I ain't in the car with y'all, but we on the same highway in the same lane, and I'm jumping in the one with Hancock this time. I got the two-time MVP out of nowhere, out of Santa Clara, Canadian, Steve Nash. Because, listen, name one person that said Steve Nash was going to be have a Hall of Fame career and win back-to-back MVPs in the era of Shaq, Kobe, Duncan, and I could keep going.
And also with that, the when he went to when he was on the Mavericks.
Yeah,
the Mavericks did not re-sign him
exactly
because they thought like, oh, he's too hurt. He's not going to be able to keep up. Goes to Phoenix, wins two MVPs.
Wow. All
right, I'm going old school. Facebook Live, y'all keep it coming. 1985. 18th overall pick. No one knew the name, let alone the college that he even went to. McNeese State.
Cool. Real cool.
Joe Dumars. Finals MVP in 89. Three times all defensive team. Six times All-Star, three-time All-First Team. And his name is being brought up to the best defender that ever guarded Jordan.
Him and Ron Hop.
Yeah. And he's a Hall of Famer.
Jordan Stopper, Jordan. And he made the worst pick ever. If you want to rewind and go back to the first question, it all ties together. In.
And to buck that, he was the executive of the year in 2003. So Joe Dumars, which was one of my favorite players coming up, the crowd when they drafted Joe is like,
who?
Who? But boy, you would have never thought.
Yeah.
And he played in the era where Magic, Jordan, he played in the era with the GOAT.
Bird.
So Bird, I mean, he was doing his thing. So, yeah. But that's going to do it for
the. Did Facebook have any? Did they send any?
They like the Sam Bowie. They say they like my Joe Dumars. And, That's all I can read right now.
Chill, Will. What up?
But that's going to do it for the SRT Fun Bag. That was pretty fun. We got to keep doing something like that. Maybe we can do favorite all time in sports, your favorite athlete in all sports. Maybe we can do that. But we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back for the second half of Sports Roundtable. We're talking all NBA and other news and things of that nature. So keep it locked. Second hour coming up.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peakville. AM 1100.
Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Those dial-your-number beds? They make no sense. They're basically pricey air mattresses that make you select one firmness. Reverie knows that different areas of your body need different levels of support. Your shoulders may do fine with a firm mattress, but what about your back, neck, and hips? That's why we created the world's first completely customizable sleep system. Only Reverie has micro-targeted Dream Cell foam springs, an advanced sleep technology that lets you customize your mattress from head to toe. Each cell moves with you in all your sleep positions. And if back, neck, or shoulder pain disrupts your sleep, you'll love Reverie's zero-gravity setting. Oh, and if snoring's a problem, you'll be a fan of our anti-snore feature. Try Reverie for yourself, risk-free for 101 nights and experience what a perfect night's sleep feels like.
Visit TryRev.com/save. That's TryRev.com/save. Or call 877-838-6200. 877-838-6200.
There's a lot going on in the world. And your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
If Twitter was back in the day in high school, what would your Twitter handle be?
This is going might go over a lot of people's head, but I graduated out of high school in 98 before the change and upgrade. So my Twitter handle would have been that good Reggie.
Only on WWE 1100 AM.
Yo.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and Coach. You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly. I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam. Woo. Been balling since Space Jam. New logo like the L.A. Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real Woo. Talk, Kane, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station, and the crew is back. Thanks for tuning in for the first hour of the show. We really enjoyed the hot news, the Falcons report, and we jumped off into some real good conversation about the SRT fun bag, about the best draft, worst draft, and out of nowhere draft picks in NBA history. Great conversation. Thanks for tuning in for the second hour of the show. We're about to get into some NBA playoff talk. But before we do, let me let everyone know, if you want to call the show, get you some NBA talk in, give us a call, 404-603-8770. And also got to mention that please go to srtradio.com, the one-stop source for sports, the best website cracking today. My main man G Money keeps it popping on the website. If you don't have a computer and you just got Facebook app, you can go to SRT Radio on Facebook. D Will keeps that page popping. So you got plenty of places to go to keep up and get with all of the sports news and anything. So, and if you want to follow us on any social media, we are at SRT Radio. Bottom line. But before we move into the roundtable discussion, I do have to ask about the Peyton Manning. Is it the statue that he's getting?
Yeah.
Yeah, statue and jersey retirement.
That was quick.
I mean, hey, that privilege good, ain't it?
Are they trying to get him into some ownership, front office or something? That's why they did it so quick.
You're gonna do it anyway. I mean, but thank God he was gonna get the statue. He's gonna get it. It is what it is, man. Peyton Manning. He did his thing, man.
Yeah, the sheriff.
He did.
You think he got a sheriff on his? He go get a sheriff on his a badge. What else is?
He gonna host the ESPYs too, isn't he?
Yes.
He's real good with the TV. Found out with other news that Chauncey Billups, Brent Barry, and Trajan Langdon are other options for the Hawks GM.
Now, have all these guys been working in basketball? What has Trajan been doing?
He's with the Spurs, I think, assistant. He's in the front office with the Spurs.
Okay.
I don't know what Brent doing other than TV.
Yeah.
Chauncey TV. And another name was Troy Weaver from Oklahoma City.
I heard his name bounced the other day.
And another guy from Houston, Rosa. He's another candidate.
So would he come in and do the things that Houston is doing? A lot of shooting around? I mean,
I don't know.
Is he going to bring in that type of philosophy?
I have no idea.
Some sabermetrics or analytics.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, and let's go ahead and put this out here. Wes Wilcox wanted to trade Millsap. This is allegedly.
He and I. Both of us.
Right.
Say it again.
Both of us.
Yeah.
Coach Bud, who has the final say,
wouldn't do it.
Nixed it. And that's why they went to the owner and said, we can't really see eye to eye on this. Every time I try to do something, the coach is nixing what I say.
Right.
So now they say, well, I tell you what, we're going to move you. What is the hell is an advisor to the owner? What the hell is that?
Some made up position.
Title, man.
Yep.
Okay.
A check.
It's the title.
Anyway, but so Tony Ressler, who's the sole owner of the Hawks, said that the GM it'll be his call all day. Nobody interferes. Straight his call.
Right. I mean, think of what could they have gotten for Millsap and this year? Well, what could they have gotten? Probably some picks and something next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably been sitting better. I mean, you still had the albatross of Dwight Howard around your neck, but at least you are building and moving toward the future. Right now, Millsap, like I said, could walk if he doesn't hear the price that he wants from the Hawks.
Right.
Because, I mean, you could overpay for him, but if you give him max money on what you, like I said, you're paying for what he's done. So are we willing to do that here as a franchise?
Me personally, it to me is all in who doing the picking, and
okay with paying him that amount of money with him declining?
Not necessarily.
I was gonna say we had a question about doing that for Paul George. Now we talking about doing that for Paul Millsap? That don't even make sense.
I mean, Millsap be balls. Don't get me wrong.
Hoops, but he's not a transcendent franchise changing player. He's not that.
On a championship team, he's the third player. I mean,
he's Draymond Green.
But he's your best player right now.
Right.
And you're gonna pay him $200 million? Isn't that what he's gonna command
have to, because he's gonna get that
as a max?
Up to $200 million.
Yeah, exactly. So you're gonna pay him $205 million for Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
And you don't want to blow it up, you might as well blow it up, because you're never going to be good. But
that goes back to my point when I was talking about all your all-stars from the past years. You had four of them. Three of them gone. And you might lose this next one. So you could have moved them and positioned yourself for this time now. This was my whole point before.
Right. And they made the mistake in not doing what they just did 2 years ago. They should have just got – as soon as you fired Danny Ferry, get somebody in here that's going to – make these things, because you was at the highest ceiling at that point. At the highest ceiling. So if you're going to do it, do that then when you got, well, but I don't even think the owner was in place at that point.
No, he was.
So, I mean, it was just a mess.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
It was a mess. So, we would wish and hope that Wrestler could have got in a little sooner and possibly could have made this move to where the front office is straight. But, I mean, at this point, I mean, who knows? Hopefully they can. They got 19, 31, and 60.
Before you move on, Trajan Langdon is the assistant GM for the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets, okay.
And they're also considering Mark Hughes, who's the director of player personnel
New
for
York.
The Knicks.
don't get me wrong, but I don't think I'd be getting anything from the Nets. Nothing against Trajan Langdon, but they're not really showing me that they're doing a good job up there. So So well,
he's been there a year. So that Kevin Garnett trade was not on him.
So he's been there a year.
He's been there a year.
He was with San Antonio.
So where was he at before that? Because that's not a lot of experience.
He was with San Antonio.
Okay.
Right.
So. Okay, well, maybe learn something on the RC briefly.
Man, get out of here.
But, man.
All right, G, let's go ahead and jump into that roundtable discussion. Let's talk some of these NBA.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable discussion brought to you by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a used, pre-owned a new car, please contact Jay's at Jay's Used Cars. 770-496-0339. Mention SRT or Sports Roundtable. Get a 10% discount on your down payment. Check out the website for inventory, jaysusedcars.com. They stack them deep, sell them cheap. My main man, Jay. Washington and Boston played a game 7 the other night, and Boston wins. Olenek had a career night, and I'm just going to put this out. After a game-winning shot in game 6 from John Wall, did he not disappear in game 7?
You can say that. I just think it was going to be hard to win that game. It was going to take a – because we saw Bradley Beal put up 40. So you could say he took a step back because he wasn't typical John Wall. But that was a tough situation. Game 7 in Boston on their court. You hadn't won there in double-digit years. It's going to be hard. He had a bad game.
I was going to let you keep dressing that up, getting the flowers.
Yeah.
But
go ahead.
Well, compared to James Harden, it's not that bad, is it?
We're gonna talk about that. Compared go ahead, about
can't be that bad.
If you dress a pig up,
still you can put lipstick on all you want. It's still a pig. He choked, man. The fourth quarter, he scored no points.
Zero.
You're a superstar, supposedly. That can't happen.
Can't happen.
These are you get to these spots. It's nothing said you're gonna get back. Say I was listening to D Dub talking about getting, do you know how hard it's gonna be to get back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You know how hard it's gonna be to get back to this point for Washington?
Yes.
When you have those times to make it happen, you have to seize that moment. Because it's not promised again.
Is it more highlighted because of the game when he shot? And his antics
after the game.
And what he said to the Celtics wearing black.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay.
Everybody's not Michael Jordan. You can't talk it and still walk it. You have to, sometimes you have to speak softly and carry a big stick. And when you put that pressure on yourself like he did and not come through, yeah, it looks bad. Especially when you go 0-for in the fourth quarter. This is money time. And you had been touted. I'd said it. I'd heard other analysts say it. And we even talked about it last week. Him being the second best player in the East this year.
Overall.
He just gave everybody a chance to say, now you see why.
And you know, there is one guy that really grilled him from the time he did the Dougie that just reveled in this.
Heard.
So... I mean, you have to seize that moment, and he didn't do it, man.
What's your question on that? Like, do you think he was gassed? He played 44 minutes. They didn't get a lot of bench production. Well, hardly any. They had five of their 105 came from the bench.
Well, let me just say this: either you can play 44 minutes and do some, or play 44 minutes and just rest for the rest of the season. I mean. It is what it is.
He had a bad game. And my thing is, I don't think that diminishes his star. I don't think it says anything against his game.
D. Weird, I stood up on this.
But guy. I think.
It hurts him, D.
Here's my thing. Because he's a young player and he has opportunity. Now, would this be a. Because it was at one time, we said the same thing about LeBron.
Yeah, and LeBron had to redeem him.
And he did. And that's what I'm saying. Ray My Allen. Thing is, I think John Wall has the opportunity to still be who we think he is. My thing is, he had a bad – he picked the bad time exactly. to have a bad game.
That's what it's about, when you do it.
It's true. I agree.
When you do it.
I agree.
Now you hit that shot in game seven the way he hit it, then he stopped.
Like exactly. he hit in game six, and then you jump in the ghost and you start rapping.
You have been on Bradley Beal.
I was on him heavy.
For quite this season.
I was on him heavy.
Now, this is your time to
what the hell you want me to say? he had a good game.
He balled.
Now, he averaged, I'm not going to, excluding game seven, he averaged almost 26 points a game in the series. He balled out. I'm not taking anything. He was at like 24 and a half for the playoffs. So he was doing his thing. And the thing you saw was him and John Wall being able to coincide with Wall still getting big numbers, Bradley Beal still getting big numbers. But I don't think – I'm going to say it like this. I don't think they're able to function with Bradley getting 40 like they are with John Wall getting 40. I think if Wall gets 40 and Bradley Beal's the person getting the 27 to 30 in one of those type games, I think that's cool. But Bradley Beal takes too many shots to get his 40. You see what I'm saying? He's a jump shooter. So it's not a lot of him putting it on the floor, getting to the basket, getting easy shots, shooting free throws. Because even the other night, he only shot 9 free throws. And that's a good number, but in a 40-point game, you would expect more free throws. So I was hard on him, and I'm going to give him his props. He showed up in the playoffs. John Wall had a bad game at the wrong time.
All right, let's talk about James Harden.
Was that enough praise?
Well, I mean, you know, I was just making sure.
There you go, Bradley.
James Harden. They said he took – he had more shots at the club than he did in the first quarter.
Ooh. Yeah. Look, he another one. When it's time to step up, man. I mean, we heard all this year, you know, about MVP and, you know, came down time to prove it. He didn't step up, man. And it was almost like – you remember the Kobe game where he wouldn't shoot?
Yep.
It was almost like that when Kobe was trying to prove a point that if I don't shoot, we can't win. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he intentionally went out and said and showed that, but he looked like he was drugged. Did you see him at halftime when he was sitting beside D'Antoni? And they were sitting there. D'Antoni was just spinning the clipboard, and Harden looked like he was thinking, I'd rather be anywhere but here. Yep. That's the way he looked, his whole facial expression. And he just, I mean, that game was horrible. He just did not play.
And that spun off to the whole team. I saw that they, in that game, they were 13 for 40 from three. But on two-pointers, they were 9 for 37.
That's crazy. That's that damn. Well,
I you better hold on. I picked him for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, because.
He did good in the regular season. But. He is who we thought he was. But here's the other thing, man. I'm going to tell you like this. James Harden, I don't know. Boy, I wish this was uncensored. I'm going to tell you what I think it was. He has something going on in his personal life. All
right? Him and Chloe don't date no more, right?
Stop it, man. You're trying to get us fined.
It might be a different... one of those Kardashians.
Listen to me now.
And the jinx continues.
Did not show up. I've never seen a superstar like when you saw it just to reference your Kobe in that Kobe game. You saw it in Kobe's face that he was proving a point. Mm-hmm. You saw him actually physically pouting. You saw him pouting. You saw he wore his emotions on his shoulder.
Wasn't that based on something like Phil said the game before, to where he took too many shots?
Exactly. It like something along those lines.
The media was saying
it. Everybody said it. Yeah. Okay? So James Harden wasn't like that. You didn't see him out there like, oh, I got a riff with him. I'm not playing today. Or I'm mad at my coach. I'm mad at the assistant. I'm mad at the trainer. It wasn't that. It was, I think I'm ready for this season to be over with. I think I'm done. I'm done. Because for them, no Kawhi Leonard at home.
By 40.
No Tony Parker.
By 40.
By 40. So my point is, James Harden, we had this argument last week. Well, not an argument. We had this debate last week. We talked about him in OKC in the finals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How he disappeared. Think about it. He's been playing great since that moment. He has redeemed himself tenfold since that moment. But think about this. When was the last time James Harden played in a game of any significance since then?
Mm.
So it may be that when the lights are on,
mm-mm,
the star goes out.
Well, whether that's true or not, that's what's on his
That's his resume
right now. That's what's on the resume.
That's his resume. His last game of any significance in the finals was then.
He didn't show up.
Do you think that like game five had any effect? Because that was when they only played seven players and he played a lot of minutes and then Ginobili blocks his shot.
And
he never really got rested or anything like that to get ready for games.
Great logic. And I totally agree. But here's my thing. Yesterday don't got nothing to do about today.
On your home floor, man.
Nothing. Come on.
You see what I'm saying? On your home floor. At least John Wall didn't show up, but it was at Boston.
That's a hard situation, man. They've never won there in 11 years.
Houston at home.
Whew.
Close out game that you have to win to keep the series.
Look, like I'm not trying to make like excuses for him or anything.
Yes, you are.
No,
I'm sure.
But like, well, there's got to be something that played into this. Like, did he really just not show up?
I'm gonna tell you what Facebook Live said. Facebook Live dead said, sunken place.
Kardashians.
Get out.
Get out.
Sunken place. Everybody in Houston at the halftime was drinking lean.
Wow. Everybody on the syrup. Everybody got a double cup.
Speaking of superstars, Russell Westbrook just had a son.
Congratulations
to.
That's another out of nowhere.
Him and Nina.
Yeah, there's another.
That's a definite out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yep. Did not start in college.
Yeah. Collison.
Yeah.
Fomar and.
He played behind Darren Collison and Jordan Fomar.
Yeah.
And everybody thought he was crazy. And here's true for coming out. But here's the other thing. Another little neat little tidbit. Do y'all know UCLA was his only offer? UCLA, and the reason he even got the offer from UCLA is because Jordan Fomar told them to sign him. Jordan Fomar was like, y'all need to sign Russell Westbrook. And they did. And the star is born.
Yeah. He's a bad man.
Hey, congrats to Russ and Nina.
I think his name is Noah.
Yeah, he probably can wear the same clothes as Russell.
Oh!
Short, long pair.
Hey, what's up with the male rompers?
Oh, man.
Cam Newton, Young Dro.
I don't know, cuz.
Male
I can't
rompers.
Do it.
Like, yeah. These men walk around with camel toe.
Hang on, baby.
True enough, they are. They're in a romper. What is going on?
Boy, y'all love the same. All right, Cleveland just. They had an exhibition game series against Toronto. Lowry is due for a payout. Does Toronto give him $204 million?
I would not.
Do the Philadelphia 76ers sign him?
You got the pick, man. You got the number three pick. Listen.
Philly needs some kind of veteran leadership, but I'm not sure he's the guy.
He's not that guy. He's a little dog with big bark and no bite.
And he plays a point, and, you know, they're experimenting with Simmons supposed to be the point.
Understandable so. But you got the number three pick, and you know who is there, and you know who I like. And I know we ain't got the Dennis. No, they got the number nine pick. They got three and nine, right?
No, they got three.
I think they got three and nine, if I'm not mistaken. I like Dennis Smith Jr.
They just have number three.
Just number three?
The number nine pick that went to Dallas in the Nerlens Noel trade.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They tanked for that one.
Yeah,
they sure did.
Hey, that's what you do.
You tanked for that one. So, Toronto did all that to try to beat Cleveland and to no avail.
Right.
Ibaka is a free agent. Patterson, Lowry. We can probably say that that's going to be it for Toronto.
Yeah, I think the door is closed.
Yeah. Was it Toronto looking that bad or was it Cleveland looking that good? Also, LeBron averaged 34, 35.
I think sometimes when you gear your team for one purpose, and that was to beat LeBron, you know, everything was geared toward bring these type of players in. They did it first with DeMar Carroll. That didn't work. Now you've done it with Ibaka and with P.J. Tucker to try to get players in there to help defend him. And I think you've gotten away from anything that you were able to do that made you successful. Sometimes you try to go so far to do something, it takes you out of what you do well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whatever they did well, I don't know if they did or not, but that's kind of what I saw. You know, I mean, it just didn't look like the same type of squad that really pushed Cleveland two times last year and, you know, in that series they had. So, I don't know. I think, like I said, sometimes you overthink it and you do things that you think might work, and it didn't work out.
Nope.
I'm just reading on the website.
SRTRadio.com.
There is a fan in San Antonio that has filed a civil suit against Zaza Pachulia.
Oh, you won't come.
That's ridiculous. Spurs fan filed a civil suit against Zaza Pachulia for injuring Kawhi Leonard. The source, SBNation.com.
That's crazy.
Slow news day.
That's crazy.
That might be the saltiest fan of all time.
Of all time.
That is crazy.
He's trying to get paid, though. He's smart. Get that money, boy.
Can you still make a citizen's arrest?
Try to see what happens. Crazy,
in Texas, man. Probably.
Open carry.
Everybody packing. So
everybody packing.
It might not be the best idea.
Wow.
That might be the dumb of the year move.
He ain't getting no love from over here. Don't look at me. I ain't commenting on you stupid. Go ahead, Hancock.
No, I have no comment on that, man.
All right. Last night in the West. They had a scrimmage game. I mean, they had a game two.
Wow.
Hey, there was one player on the Spurs who did not treat it like a scrimmage.
And that's my man.
Jonathan
Simmons.
Trying to get a contract, baby.
Yes, sir.
He's gonna get it.
Come on, Hawks. Yeah. Do something.
See, that's my point, man. Here's the thing. A player goes out and he has good games like this. And now we're willing to pay him to go do that somewhere else. He's not capable.
Well, it worked with Harden to an extent.
He's not James Harden. You see what I'm saying? We saw the potential in James Harden.
Well,
James Harden was a number six overall pick.
We know he's going to take a shot in the first quarter.
Exactly. He was a number six overall pick. So James Harden was highly touted. He was highly touted coming out of high school. All right, going to Arizona State. Yeah. So
McDonald's All-American.
Exactly. Jonathan Simmons is a fairy tale story off the beer truck, and I tried out an open
three
tryout,
different schools.
Tried out in an open tryout and made the team, and got sent to the D League and made his way up. He's not that guy.
He's just a piece.
But you're gonna bring him to the Hawks.
Would you rather have him or Bazemore?
Well, but you Kent's locked in.
But I'm just asking.
Would you have Kent Bazemore and Jonathan Simmons? Because Kent's here. So you're going to bring Jonathan on top of that. So is Jonathan Simmons that much better than Kent Bazemore that he's going to change the face of the Hawks?
He's just a piece.
But the Hawks need way more pieces.
Oh, I understand, but you got to start somewhere.
I don't think he's the guy. That's just my opinion. I think Jonathan Simmons is good where he's at. His best bet is to stay in San Antonio and to be the backup to Kawhi Leonard. To try and go and be the guy somewhere else, I'm gonna be sitting over here, I'm gonna point at Hancock, and we're gonna be saying, "Bus."
I think he probably was gonna tell him you need to go make that money, like he told that big monster guy that went to Detroit.
Yeah, the big overdude. Yeah,
like, oh monster. Yeah. He told him
you got to go make that money.
Yeah. Right.
And if somebody's gonna offer Simmons because he's showing out and he's showing up.
And how long have I been on Simmons?
Oh, yeah. That three ball's looking good. He's shooting a three a lot better than I expected.
First showed up. Yeah, you have. But the jumper, to me, is really setting him apart.
It is.
He's making that outside shot. His game blocks.
Simmons, he's a restricted free agent this summer.
Oh, restricted. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so somebody going to offer money. And
they got to match it.
They ain't going to match it.
The Spurs have to match it. And they're not. But I think someone's going to give him a ridiculous offer.
It's going to be just like, what's the guy? What's the big center that left that I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about.
He was number 70-something.
No.
No, number 77.
Haynes or Baines? Or
No. The big foreign guy.
Like a monster. Yeah.
Oh, Boban.
Boban. See, Boban was wanted to stay in San Antonio. And yep. Pop told him, man, you got to go make that money because they offered him, $10 mil or something like that year or something like that. So,
but Boban, and what have we heard from him since?
Nothing.
Exactly. So you see what I'm saying? Like,
well, he went to a team.
Bank of America heard from him.
Hey, them direct deposits cash.
He went to a team where the coach and the GM is the same.
He got a financial advisor.
And Simmons would be, if he finally gave it up. But exactly. Still.
Simmons paid $150 to try out.
Try out.
Thank you.
Somebody's about to pay him about $15 mil a year.
Yeah.
Well, no. See, look, I'm not debating him leaving for the money.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, man.
He got to go get paid.
Go get that money,
yeah,
man.
But my thing is, he's going to be Kent Bazemore.
Well, he got a little more hunger.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to be the type of player that Kent Bazemore is. He's going to be Kent Bazemore on another team. You feel what I'm saying? He's going to be an overpaid piece. Because I don't think he's much more than a piece.
All right, so going back to the game last night, because there's really no sense of talking about Golden State and Utah. I mean,
San Antonio.
No, you're talking about the
previous series. They played without Kawhi against Houston.
Well, let's talk about the first game, Mars.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about the first game.
About the first game of the series before Kawhi got hurt. And what was your take on that? Did you see? I won't even preface it. I just want to know what you saw.
I thought the Spurs dictated the game. Everything that they wanted to do, they did it. They forced them to take tough shots with Golden State. And they got the shots that they wanted. They moved the ball, and they basically run the same offense because what they do is they move the ball from side to side until it breaks down. And if it breaks down, Kawhi is the one who breaks you down. But without that, it was a lost cause at that point. The rotation was off. The communication was off. And everything got off. And once Golden State got into their rhythm,
came about it though.
All downhill.
But here's the thing. You're up 30. The difference is, and we all knew this, Greg Popovich was taking Mike Brown to the woodshed, period. That's all it was. He came in with a flawless game plan, and that defensive strategy that he had caused those shots to be missed by Golden State.
Yeah, right? they ran out on him.
They ran off the three-point line. They contested just about every three. They made them take tough shots, all right? And then on the offensive end, they spread them out. Yep. They spread them out, and like you said, rotate, get the ball, Kawhi, go one-on-one, break it down. That's the whole game plan. But listen, Pop, you're up 30 in the third. I'm sorry. You cannot lose that game. I understand that's Golden State, and in five shots, they can be back in the game like that, and that's exactly what happened. But to be up 30 – with the game plan that you came in and have your team playing the way they play, you cannot lose that game. I'm sorry. I'm putting that totally squarely on the shoulders of Greg Popovich. And for him to come out the next day and make the statements about Zaza Pachulia, that's where your focus is after blowing a – that is the ultimate Donald Trump political spin job. You're not sitting there talking about blowing this 30-point lead. You're sitting there talking about Zaza Pachulia stepping up under Kawhi Leonard and making him roll his ankle. When you should have been talking about how you yourself, the quote-unquote greatest coach of all time, is blowing a 30-point lead in game one of the Western Conference Finals.
I hear what y'all say about running out on the three and all that. To me, Golden State is a team that if they're not interested, you can beat them.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I think they came out rusty. I think Draymond was turning the ball over, bad pass. Steph was turning the ball over. Klay was missing wide open shots.
Wide open shot.
So, you know, I hear all that about them, the defense they done. I agree on the offensive end, they moved it and whatever. I don't think they were interested in play. I think they came in with knowing that San Antonio was wounded. Kawhi was hurt. So I think they said, well, this is going to be one of the games we come in and win. And I don't think they came to play. And San Antonio said, okay, you think we still can play? And they were moving the ball around. And Kawhi getting hurt kind of jump-started them.
Yes.
Steph started going off. Third quarter, he went stupid. What, about 19 in the quarter? But I think, like I said, this is what we go back when we're talking about when they play Cleveland. When they don't fear Cleveland kind of plays with them. When they have fear of Cleveland, you see what happens. Their antenna come up and they play harder. And that's with everybody that they play. If they're disinterested, you can see it. They just don't. They don't pass the ball right. They turn the ball over. Watch the turnovers. They'll have double-figure turnovers in the first half, just like they did in that game. But in game two, when they came out the different way.
Oh, yeah, ain't no doubt.
I know Kawhi wasn't there, but they came out with a purpose. And the purpose was, we're going to step on their throat tonight, get them out of here. And I just, you look at that team, and it's like, if they play hard, it's hard to beat four All-Stars the way they have.
Well, let's clarify that. Mm-hmm. Two MVPs, mm-hmm. two All-Stars. Mm-hmm.
And when, like, what can you take away? You understand? I mean, what are you going to take away?
And Iguodala didn't play.
Iguodala didn't even play.
And that's a former Finals MVP.
And the thing about it, this is what makes them difficult to play against is because, you know, we always say, well, when you got two superstars, one of them need the ball. Well, the ball's in Draymond's hand a lot of time. So your two superstars are either cutting, setting screens. Steph will set a screen and run all the way around.
He set a lot of screens in game two.
That's what I'm saying. He'll do that. He'll give his body up. And Draymond makes plays off of it. He'll be close to a triple-double in every game. So it's just hard to defend, man. I don't. When they want to play, they're hard to beat.
Well, do you think like part of it also is that maybe the Warriors just waited for LaMarcus Aldridge to not show up?
That's a whole other story.
I mean, because second half, Draymond defended him and he couldn't score.
When in game one, he was knocking that. The turnaround over Draymond, because Draymond can't really defend him.
Second half,
He doesn't see Draymond when he shoots, all right? So LaMarcus Aldridge's issue is he's just soft.
And that's the key to both he and Powell.
He and
Powell are soft.
Draymond didn't guard him. Draymond punked him.
He does. He beroots him.
He beats him up, gets him off his spot. So LaMarcus Aldridge just showing up as
– But does he look timid? Does he look –
Who, like, LaMarcus?
Yeah.
He passive. Is timid. He's passive. He's timid.
Well, he doesn't have a power game
exactly.
to go over Draymond. And all he's going to do, Draymond knows all he's going to do is turn around and fade away.
That's it.
So if you can just get on the shooting hand and make it hard, you know, strip at the ball, do things like that, get him out of his rhythm.
Get inside that personal space because I don't care. It's hard to shoot a fadeaway when someone's in your personal space.
You said that. Think about it. There was a sequence when Durant blocked his shot. The ball came loose, and he gave him space. Mm-hmm. He picked it back up and shot the fadeaway from the dotted line. That's the last part of the second game, of the first game. But like you said, Draymond takes the space away. He's in that area all the time, and it bothers him. When you get inside of him, he has trouble.
Well, let's talk about how good Sean Livingston has played over – these last couple of games. Yeah. I don't even think he's missed the pull-up shot.
He don't ever miss that shot.
I mean.
That's like a layup.
And
he sat most of the series in Portland.
That's what I'm saying.
I think they were saving him.
He's fully rested.
Hand injury or something. So they just.
It ain't his right hand then. Yeah.
You know, and that this is the thing. Their bench was supposed to be the suspect part of the team.
It diminished after because it's for signing KD.
Yeah.
But and again, these other two young kids are starting.
McCall
to play.
And Clark.
Clark.
And Iguodala didn't even play.
Listen, Ian Clark. Don't miss.
Don't miss.
When we say he is a perfect fit for the Golden State Warriors, because he came in the other night. He did not play the first 3.5 quarters. First touch, wide open shot, cash.
And he's Barbosa is what he is.
Boom.
He's Barbosa, and he works well with David West.
Mm-hmm.
They run David West, he's cutting, and the ball is just – right there, he's laying the ball up a lot.
Yeah, David West looking like Draymond on some of them passes.
Listen, you know what that is?
And
that's
a great assist.
Both of y'all, I'm finna put y'all 2 points together. Draymond and Steph is the rich man's David West and Ian Clark. When they go out of the game, they're able to run the same offense. So if you put them in with KD, there's no drop off. You put them in with Clay, there's no drop off. They're getting their same shots. They don't have to do extra to get their points when those two are out of the game. So that's major.
One thing though that I'm wondering with Zaza getting the heel hurt, they're gonna need that body against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what's the extent of the heel injury.
They can rest him though.
But what's the extent of the heel injury? I'm not sure.
True. Yeah, I don't think it's been reported.
The MRI is supposed to be today.
Yeah. So they're gonna need him in the next series.
Because if not, Tristan Thompson is going to
kill him on the board.
Yeah.
Off.
Celtics,
he might be the MVP of this series.
They don't.
Let me throw a curveball with this Golden State thing. If Kerr doesn't come back, do you allow Mike Brown to be the coach?
Hell no. Hell no.
I'm trying to go back and get Walton. I know Luke Walton is kicking himself. This is what I was saying. When Kerr was sick, Walton should have never left. He should have never left Golden State. I know he was a Laker and all that, but this is a franchise that's good for the next 5 to 7 years. It was ready made. I would have. His daddy told him not to leave.
He had a tie-dye shirt on when he told
him. he could have had tie-dye drawers.
He was in a certain condition.
Did he have a bone? He have a bone.
He said he was in a certain condition.
But I mean, you left a franchise like that.
Yeah.
And I just didn't understand. I mean, he would be perfect right now. Slide into it because he, you know, he
and he's young.
That's Mike Brown. Young. Mike Brown's not.
So
there.
Who do you get? I mean,
you gotta have to go through an extensive search. You gotta open it up.
Do you go back and get Gentry?
You go back and get Mark Jackson.
They won't have him.
But you see what I'm saying?
I don't think Mike Brown is the answer.
He's not the answer. So my thing is, you gotta go steal somebody because. Everybody wants that job.
You got to get somebody in there I'm going to be honest with you, that Draymond's going to like.
True.
It's just be real.
He like or he respects?
That too.
Okay.
He's got to get the respect.
Right.
Yeah, because he might like him. You're right. It's got that he respects. Because I don't see him respecting Mike Brown at all. I'm going to be honest.
Hey, y'all, I'm finna listen. Y'all call me crazy. But if Steve Kerr is unable to return as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. If I'm the Golden State Warriors, do you know who I'm pushing for as my head coach? And y'all, call me crazy. Facebook Live, call me crazy. Atlanta, call me crazy. SRT Crew, call me crazy. I'm going to get Kobe Bryant.
You crazy.
Yeah, you crazy. Yeah, you
call crazy. Call me what you want.
You crazy.
I'm going to get him.
Priceless. Look at his face.
Yes. I'm going to get him. If we had time, I'd give you my explanation.
I'd rather have Steve Nash. I mean, seriously.
I'm not hating on that.
He's part of the organization.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not hating on that.
Well, hold on.
But you see where I'm going with my choice of who I put in that position. I'm going with someone who gets the respect, who has the basketball, maybe not have the experience, but you could put the staff around him to give him the experience.
I can see
Luke, if Luke Walton is the head coach of the Lakers, you can't tell me Kobe can't be the head coach of Golden State. He ain't got a lot of work to do.
You see what I'm saying? You put a good staff around him, that's who they respect.
I just don't think Kobe got the interest to be that right now. He doing muse cages and all that kind of stuff. I don't think.
Gee, if you go to state, who do you go after as the coach, or what happens if Kerr doesn't come back?
If he doesn't come back, I think he's probably will come. He's traveled with the team.
He traveled. I heard he was.
Oh yeah, he's been at the game.
He's on his way back. It's just gonna take. This is an unprecedented situation, really. Right? But I think they go get somebody they might try to bring Gentry back, or if they try to get Walton, just somebody who's already been
there
with the organization.
Because the thing about it is that you can't keep doing this year after year. Even if he comes back, you got to know at some point it's just go either break down, or you got the plan for the future.
I think they're already working on this because, Kerr may not come back at all.
Right.
Exactly. So I think they're if they don't have a contingency plan, they're working on one. Like, do we want Mike Brown?
It can't be Mike Brown.
Or something behind the scenes. I think they're working on that right now.
Listen, Greg Popovich took Mike Brown to the woodshed for 3.5 quarters. Like, that was a coaching beat down. Listen, we all know Golden State is 10 times better than the Spurs. We know that. This is not up for debate. But for them to come out and be up 30 points, 30 in game one? Come on, man. That was a coaching beatdown.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. So this is the question. This go probably end this discussion here. Who is the MVP of the team for Golden State right now if you had to pick one through – the playoffs?
I still say it's Steph.
Easy.
I say it's Steph. And this is when I always heard that not believe, but that KD was the man on the team. KD is the best player on the team.
Yeah, no doubt.
But they need to go through Steph. It needs to.
We talked about.
And then everybody else eat.
And it's the same thing that D. Will was saying about. Bill can give me 40, but if Wall give me 40, I got to play through Wall for everybody else to play better. Bill is like a one-trick pony. Yeah. So your point is it kind of matches together, and I think a lot of people don't really understand sometimes in sports, sometimes being the best player doesn't mean that it has to go through you, mm-hmm. Because Steph makes the train go. When he hitting shots, Steph tells Draymond to run the point. You can see him throwing the ball and let me go run this and this and that. So it puts Draymond in a situation to where you go be the assist guy. I'm gonna let you facilitate for a second.
Here's the love, man. Here, take this love.
Exactly.
I think in one game last week, they all had over 5 assists. The whole starting 5. Mm. So it started. That was just the minimum. At least some of them had 7.
Yeah,
8,
no doubt.
The thing is that it's starting to be infectious. You can even see KD giving it up.
Right.
He's starting to make plays with the ball, and that's the thing. If you got him to where now he's just not a one dimensional. When I get in my hand, I can score, but now I can make a play for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and real quick, I know we out of here. KD, we all agree, and everybody does. Steph had a down year this year, correct? In comparison to back to back MVP,
right. That's what the comparison was.
He averaged 27 points a game.
That's what I'm saying.
He was number 4 in the league in scoring.
Yeah,
but you know what? If they'd have won the title last year, it wouldn't have been as bad a look.
Yeah,
because his star diminished because of what happened in the finals last year,
mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
See, his name wasn't even bannered about as being one of the top.
Not it, never, no.
Even though he was still killing in the league,
killing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, man, it's time to get on up out of here now, baby. Because time for the Cleveland and Boston game, and I think they've already started, right? Yeah. So the scrimmage game. What time the scrimmage started? At 8?
8:30.
Hey man, thanks for another great 24/13. Week. 24/13 already.
Yeah, already.
Okay. Yeah, they double and triple team. Thanks for another great week. Thanks for lending us your ears for 2 hours of great sports talk. Want to give a shout out to my crew, Man, listen, I was a proud, I felt like a proud father when I was listening to you guys last week. Y'all did. I want to shout out Jay Smooth for coming in and being the facilitator. Thanks, Steph Curry. G Money, you did your thing as always. I want to shout out to my mob crew who went to D.C. We had fun, man. We did a lot of good things, and I learned a lot. So heads up on that. Thanks for Facebook Live for tuning in. Thanks for all the new people that are actually tuning in, because I was passing the cards out and people are tuning in. So I will be getting some feedback from that. Thanks for all the loyal listeners for always being loyal and representing and supporting the SRT crew. And once again, shout out to my crew, the best crew in sports. This is how we do each and every week.
Yeah, quick shout out to all the mothers. We were kind of thrown off a little bit. Big homie wasn't here to keep us in line, so we didn't get to tell all these wonderful ladies,
yes,
mothers of our kids, mothers of us, sisters who have kids, all of you ladies, happy, belated, happy mothers.
Yes.
Happy. And to you, my lovely wife, who really got in my butt about it. Happy Mother's Day to you too, T. Love you, baby.
There you go.
Yeah.
I concur with that. Happy Mother's Day. I had a very nice dinner with my mom and sister on Sunday. Like, thank them both and my dad for listening to the show as they do every week. Okay. And if you guys want to follow me on social media, I'm at G Plays It Cool on Instagram. And also I have a music podcast called By The Time You Hear This, where you can visit it at bythetimeyouhearthis.com.
There you go.
Oh, man, yeah, shout out to the crew. And I want to say happy Mother's Day, too. We did miss that part. thank God my wife. But I also got to give a shout out because my wife got on me. I want to give a shout out to the teachers of Renaissance Middle School for their support. And I want to shout out Lupus Awareness Month. My mother passed of lupus 29 years ago this year. She passed 30 years ago coming this September. So shout out to her. Shout out to all the women and men out there fighting with lupus. Keep your head up. And you can follow me on social media at IamCoachK9. That's I am Coach K as in King and the number 9.
All right. One more thing.
Real Talk Tees at RealTalkTees.BigCartel.com.
There you go. And want to also thank D-Dub for calling in during the Falcon Report. Next week, we got a special guest. We got another special guest. We just got so many people coming in the studio.
Oh, oh, oh,
just stay with us.
Oh, oh, oh.
And one more thing before we get out of here. Happy birthday to my main man, D Will.
Hey.
Birthday will be Friday.
Hey, D Weezy.
Happy birthday to D Will, the coach. So we will probably be celebrating next week. So y'all stay tuned. And with that being said, Hancock, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
They call me coach because I teach you how to ball.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mom, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
step up on them, Zaza.
And we out. Peace.